Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I'm bringing you today an episode, it kind of follows on from last week's episode, which was on my birth story. But equally, if you didn't listen to it, then hopefully you will also find some interest in this episode too. So today I wanted to talk to you about the things that I learnt in the first couple of weeks after giving birth to Sophia. So that real immediate postpartum time. It's called, you know, they call the time after birth the fourth trimester. But this almost feels like a kind of a mini like segment before you really come into that time, because there's like this in-between period of when you've given birth and those, that first 2 weeks for me, particularly the first probably 10 days, was the most intense period of my life. And I wanted to share some things about it because, one, it's not the kind of things you get taught at your NCT classes, if you're doing those, but also, if I hadn't had amazing support around me and people telling me that the feelings I was feeling were okay and were normal, then I would have probably felt a lot more disconnected in that first couple of weeks. And I'm not saying this is the same for everybody, but this was my experience. And a lot of people I spoke to who had been through similar or were going through it at the same time as me kind of reiterated some of the feelings I was feeling as well. So I feel like I wanted to share it because also, even if it's not, even if you haven't given birth, some of the things I learned were really pivotal to me just as a human being anyway, and I think would be relevant to any big transformation in your life, big experience, whether that was birth, whether it was death, whether it was a big shift in your life. I think a lot of the lessons are quite similar because there's always like a kind of aftermath period. And birth for me just highlighted some of these. So I thought I'd share some of the things that I learned along the way. So the first thing that, and this is probably going to go as my episodes normally do, as my solo rambles go, it'll probably go all over the place. And hopefully you can just bear with me. there's no set structure to my episodes, generally speaking. So the first thing that I wanted to share, and this is something that I kind of touched on in my episode last week, but I felt like it should be, it's something that needs to be shared again, is that the love that I felt for Sophia when she was born was powerful, but it wasn't the gushy, rainbow-filled love that you're kind of led to believe you have. And I'm sure that some people do have that. There was a huge flood of love, but there was also a huge flood of relief. And there was also a huge flood of overwhelm, of anxiety, of every imaginable feeling possible, because it is a huge transformation to go from you being responsible for yourself. And even if you're in a partnership, you're still solely responsible for yourself because that other person can generally look after themselves. But then you have this little being that is completely and utterly responsible, you're responsible for. And that can feel so overwhelming. And the love was there for me with Sophia. But it was, I would say it was almost more of a obligatory love. Like I knew I loved her and I knew that she was absolutely the most important thing to me. But it wasn't like this big heart-bursting open moment. It was, as someone said to me, it was Laura, my doula, who said to me that, that you don't necessarily, like love at first sight doesn't always exist, and that sometimes, and love often grows. And that is definitely what I have experienced with Sophia. Now that she's nearly 4 months, in fact, she's 4 months tomorrow from the time of recording this, the love is now the heart-bursting open love. When I look at her, I feel like just overwhelmed by the amount of love. And that can be scary in itself and probably is a whole nother episode. But and if that doesn't happen to you straight away, then that's okay. And I think just knowing that it wasn't a bad thing. It didn't make me a bad mother. It didn't mean I didn't love her, that I didn't have those real kind of open-hearted loving feelings for her straight away. I think just knowing that was okay and talking to people about it was really, really healing for me. It really made me feel quite kind of accepting, and just I knew that it would come, but I knew that it was more of a thing that would grow every single day as I got to know her. Because whilst I'd been carrying Sophia for 9 months or over 9 months, I kind of felt like I should know her when she was born, but I actually didn't. You know, I didn't know her. I only knew what I thought I knew about her. And actually, I had to take all that away and get to know her as a person. And she changes every single day, as do I. So we are constantly in a state of getting to know each other. And at first, the neediness and the kind of, it does sometimes feel like a burden of having this little soul being reliant on you can kind of, I think, maybe inhibit some of that feeling. Because at a time where, for me personally, I needed to heal after birth physically and emotionally, I was exhausted. And to then have somebody demanding your attention all the time felt hard, felt difficult to deal with. I wanted to sort of share that is, it's not unnatural to not feel that complete flood of rainbow firework love after, you know, straight away, and for that to grow and to build. So that was quite a big one for me. And that level of support leads me on to another big lesson that I had to learn, and that was to really accept and allow help. And to ask for it as well, which is not something that I have done in the past very easily. Asking for help has always not come very easily for me. So to be in a place where physically I really needed support, I needed help, I needed Will to bring the baby to me when she needed feeding, I needed people to make me my food, I needed help when I had my first shower, you know, I needed to have assistance with all of these things. And it was quite difficult for me at first to accept it. But actually, I think now, having had so much support and had amazing people come and help me during that process, it's given me a real gift. And that's the gift of actually being allowing myself to ask for help, but then also receiving help. So I remember distinctly one particular moment. I think it was a week after Sophia was born, and I just felt like I needed some support from another woman. And I called my amazing soul sister friend Alice, and I was like, are you free? Can you just come around? I just need to talk to someone, to another mother, to someone who's been through this and can kind of let me know that this is all okay. And she came round, and she just sat with me, and just being able to ask for that help, emotional help, that was really powerful. And I had so many wonderful people around me. I'm so grateful for that. And it took me quite a lot of courage to allow that help, but it's something that I now feel like I have is a gift that I've got, because I don't feel ashamed of asking for help even now. It's still something I'm working on, so I'm not saying I've nailed it at all, but I think that that has been a real support to me. And it does lead me on to talking about this need to have people around us. And particularly I found I needed other women around me and other mothers who had been through it or who were kind of in a similar situation, just because I just felt safe to express myself fully around certain people. And that was such a gift to have. And having these people around me enabled me to rest and to heal and to fully, fully embrace rest as a power. Again, something I have worked on a lot in my life, but I haven't necessarily totally surrendered into it before. But there were days where I did not leave my bedroom. There were days where the midwife would come around and I would be in, you know, mid-afternoon, and I wouldn't have even got dressed. And it was okay. The first couple of times I felt like I had to apologize, but then I just surrendered into this and I was like, my body needs to rest. I am sore. I'm uncomfortable. I just need to, like, every ounce of my energy needs to go into my baby and into my healing. So allowing myself that time to rest was really powerful, and that did come from having support. It also came from having really quite strict boundaries about having people around. I was quite careful in beforehand to be quite strict with myself and say that I didn't, you know, I didn't want to have lots of visitors around. I didn't want to feel like I had to be hosting people all the time when Sophia had just been born. And I think because we made that quite clear to families and friends, there was no pressure whatsoever to be kind of entertaining. And anybody that came round, my parents, Will's parents, friends and family, anybody that came round, they came round to help us. They didn't come round to see Sophia. Of course, it was, you know, an added bonus that they were getting to meet our little soul. But it was predominantly that in those first few weeks, they were here to look after us. They were here to bring us food, to clean the house, to cook for us, to just be there. And that was just, it was really important to me that we had that time, and it gave me the time to rest. And I think that having really clear boundaries beforehand has gave me a real sort of step ahead, I guess, in terms of not having to feel sort of this inner battle with, oh, I should let people come round, I should be hosting people, I should be making them drinks and food and things like that. None of that happened. And I think, again, it's made me feel more independent and more strong around my boundaries in all walks of life, in other areas, in my work, in my relationships, in my daily life. It's really helped me to see that, to see how important having those boundaries are. And something that I always used to say in a yoga class, actually, is that, And this kind of stuck with me throughout, is that this discomfort will not last forever. So when in a challenging yoga pose, I'll often sort of say, you know, yes, it might be, your legs might be shaking, you might feel discomfort, you might feel like you can't do this, but it won't last forever. And that really helped me in times where emotionally and physically I felt, in all honesty, kind of broken. I felt like I was being literally stripped like down to my rawest, most vulnerable self. And it was really uncomfortable. There was times when I didn't know what to do with myself, particularly around the breastfeeding, which I will go into on another episode because it's kind of a whole another topic. But I have got a blog that I wrote about my breastfeeding journey, which I will link to in the show notes. But I felt like I was being completely stripped away from every part of the person that I knew or I thought I knew I was. And I knew that I had to sit with that discomfort, but it was horrible. There was one particular night, and it was the day that my milk came in, I think, and my milk came in a little bit late. So I think it was day five. And I just felt like I stood in the shower, and I didn't want the shower to end, because if I came out the shower, I knew I'd have to go back to kind of being a mum, and I wasn't ready to do that at that moment. And I stood there and I cried and I cried and I cried, and I just wanted someone to come and take care of me. I just thought, like, I can't be responsible for another being. I just need someone to look after me right now, because I felt so fragile, so vulnerable, so raw. And I remember, again, my sister-in-law, who had so many words of wisdom, and other mothers as well, just saying, you know, this won't, like, it does get better. And I really appreciate that, because in some circumstances, I don't think being told that, it'll be fine, you'll be fine, is helpful, because at the time you maybe just need to be in those emotions. But at this period of my life, I so, so needed to hear that it was going to get easier, and that it was going to get better, and that it wasn't going to always feel like this. And that for me was so helpful, to just know that people had gone through this, had experienced what I was experiencing, and that they were okay, and that they, you know, their relationship with their babies were amazing, and they had grown and evolved as a person. And it was almost like a rite of passage, having to go through this, rebirthing myself as a mother and stripping every part of me away before I could then start to build myself up. And I do really feel like that first couple of weeks after birth is that process. It's the process of being kind of completely stripped back. And I thought I'd done a lot of work in preparation for this. So I kind of almost felt a little bit cocky, like I was not going to have such a big dramatic shift, but nothing can prepare you for being in that situation. And I had to just be uncomfortable for that time. And I think that first couple of weeks is really about stripping everything you thought you knew about yourself away, and rebuilding yourself. So the next kind of the rest of the fourth trimester, I think, is probably about rebuilding yourself. And I am going to record an episode with an amazing friend shortly on the whole of the fourth trimester. But for now, I wanted to focus on that first couple of weeks, because it feels like a little time kind of, it's a really strange time actually, because it felt like it went so slowly, but now when I look back, it feels like it went so fast. So at the time, it felt like the slowest time of my life, probably even more slow than labor, but now it's just like it feels like it went by in a heartbeat. And I have now got friends who have just had babies, and I really hope that I can pay it forward, pay the amazing support that I had forward now, because it really helped me. And there was actually times where I felt very guilty, because I hadn't been more empathetic with friends and family members who had already had babies. And I felt like, oh, I wasn't supportive enough, I didn't do enough at that time to hold them through that period of life. But I also realized that, and I don't say this in a kind of patronizing way if you haven't been through it, I mean that I'm saying it in that nothing prepared me for it, and nothing could have prepared me for feeling that way. And actually now I can pay it forward by offering that support, I hope, to the people that need it. And I think that it's given me such an important insight, and it's okay that I didn't know that beforehand. It's okay that I wasn't there in the same way that I would be now, because I am a new person effectively now. I have rebirthed myself in this role and as this person. And much as there is lots of similarities to the person I was before, and there is lots of elements of me that are still there in a way, it's a different version. So if you feel that way, like I did, then be kind to yourself and just know that now you do have that experience, it will be different. And you aren't to know what it's like until you've been through it. So you can't offer that same level of empathy. But if equally, if you want to show someone support and you haven't been through that period of time, then the most important thing is to come back to love and just show that love and support and do anything you can just to hold that person in your heart, physically if they need to, emotionally, just hold that space. You don't need to try and fix things. It's just simply about being there and supporting them and showing them that love. One of the big lessons that I was kind of retaught, I suppose, is the importance of mental and emotional health. And it's something that I've always shared about, quite honestly, about my journey with anxiety and that side of things. But I was once again reminded of how important it is and how it has such an impact on other people with in this period of time, in this few weeks, specifically again around breastfeeding. I had to make the choice to stop breastfeeding at 10 days because it was seriously impacting my mental health and my ability to show up as a mother. And in that same vein, it was also impacting the pressure and the experience that my husband was having as well with Sophia. And it was also really impacting Sophia's, I suppose, level of contentment, because I was not in a very good place mentally when I was breastfeeding. And as I said, I will go into this in more detail in another episode, but the minute I stopped, I made the choice, and it wasn't an easy choice to make, but the minute I made that choice, there was almost like a big breath of relief in our family from all of us, because my mental health, the fog started to lift. I started to feel more clarity, and I started to feel able to look after my baby, and I started to feel able to show up as a mother. And it really reminded me, and it was a hard decision to make, because at times it felt very selfish, but it was also the most unselfish thing I guess I could have done in some ways, because I knew that everybody's happiness depended on my happiness in a way, and I had to put that as a priority. So it made me realize how important my mental health was to the rest of our family. And that meant making quite a tough decision, something that my kind of part of me didn't want to give up, but I had to. And I think that again has taught me how important that is in all areas of our life. If something is causing your mental health to be put in jeopardy, or it's not making you feel good as emotionally, then it's a big sign that there's something that needs to be addressed. It's a big sign that something's not right for you at that moment in time. And I would just urge you to discuss your options, to talk about it, to get support wherever you feel that is necessary to come from. But it really is a huge priority, especially as a mother, because we need to be resilient, we need to be strong, we need to be in our power. And I don't mean that in an aggressive way. I mean in our real, like, soft mothering, nurturing power to ourselves and to our babies. And that means being in a very good place with our mental health. And if there is something that's not feeling good, then it is really important we get support and we address it, and we don't just try and bury our head in the sand and kind of push on, which is often what we sort of can find ourselves doing, because we don't want to show up and be seen as maybe not coping or being weak. I had an amazing health visitor, and the first day she came round, was the day that I decided to stop breastfeeding. And well, actually, I hadn't actually made the decision when she came round. And I recounted my birth story to her, and it brought up so much emotion. And she could see that I wasn't in a great place. And there was a part of me that was fearful of that, because she, you know, what if she thought I couldn't cope? What if she thought that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to look after Sophia? But she was so kind and loving, and she said, you know what, I think I'm going to come back next week and just check on you, because, you know, I just think that it would be good for me to come back. And I was so grateful for that, because I thought, yeah, actually, I want you to come back as well. And kind of, I need that support. And when she came back a week later, I was like a different person, and she could see that. And she reflected that back to me. And it was a real moment of, I guess, peacefulness, because I knew I'd made the right decision, even if it had been a difficult decision. And I think that probably sets me up for making a lot of difficult decisions in my lifetime, whether as a mother, as a wife, as a human being. Some decisions aren't always they're not the decisions we want to make, but we have to put our own emotional well-being first at times, because if we are not whole and full and in a good place, we can't do our best job for other people. And it really highlighted that kind of message of self-care, not being selfish, because at times you can feel like, oh, I should be doing this, I should be devoting every second of every day to my baby. And I don't agree with that if it doesn't make you feel good. If it does, then absolutely continue. But if you need a little bit of time and space, which I do believe most people do, to just be you and to fill yourself back up, that's okay. And that's actually, I think, I like to call it radical self-care. It's not just about bubble bath. It's actually about doing things that are supportive to your emotional well-being. So that's been a huge lesson for me in this journey so far. There are a lot of things in that first few weeks that are your kind of firsts for things. And it can feel really overwhelming at the beginning to think, oh, I've got to face all of this. But taking baby step is the only way to really think about it. Because if you look at the whole big picture, it can be hugely overwhelming. So just give yourself little tiny baby steps. For example, the first time you leave the house with your baby, try and make it close to home. Don't worry if you fall like in a heap, not literally, or maybe literally, but don't worry if you feel like you get, 5 minutes down the road and you want to go home. I had, the first time I left the house was a week after I'd given birth to Sophia. And I literally walked across the road, practically kind of dragged myself there. I was sore, I was in pain, I felt so vulnerable and wobbly. I nearly cried about 5 times in the 5 minute journey that I was out. And then I just came home and I slept on the sofa for an hour. It was exhausting. I'd never thought that just a 5 minute journey would be exhausting, but I went out with Will, with Sophia in the buggy, and I took those baby steps. And then gradually, rather than trying to make myself go, straight out for an hour hike, or, you know, going out to the supermarket or going to a busy area, I just took tiny baby steps. And each time I went out, each time I did a first, so when the first time I drove her in the car, the first time I went somewhere on my own with her, all these things, I just took tiny baby steps, and they really helped me grow in confidence. I never imagined in that first few days that I'd even be able to do that. I remember sitting there thinking, how on earth am I going to cope when Will goes back to work? How am I going to be able to take her out in the car? What, like, I'm never going to be able to do that. But every day and everything I did made me more confident. And it's amazing when I look back at how I felt in those first few days. And then I look now. I remember one of my NCT friends saying she had had her baby about a week earlier than me. And she said 6 weeks, everything changed, and you just, she started to feel like her again, and I was kind of a week or so behind, and I was like, oh, I really hope so. And actually she was right. About 6 weeks I did have a big shift. So if you're in those early days, or you know, if you haven't had a baby yet, just bear in mind that there's a lot that goes on. A lot happens to your body, a lot happens to your mind. There's a lot of grieving to be done, and at the same time there's a lot of emotional highs and lows. And I said to someone the other day, it's both amazing and awful all at the same time. And I don't mean that, you know, in any negative way. It is, it's like there are huge highs and then there are amazing lows as well. And sometimes it feels horrific, and then other times it feels like, oh my god, this is the most incredible thing I've ever done. So just kind of allow yourself those feelings, allow yourself those thoughts, because if you start telling yourself that you're not a good mum because you're thinking that, or you're not a good human being because you're thinking that, then it's not kind, it's not nurturing. You wouldn't speak to your baby like that, you wouldn't speak to someone you love like that. So really connect in with that nurturing, mothering instinct that you have, but turn it towards yourself. Like, that's a really huge thing that I've been learning, is that mothering myself is just as important as mothering my baby. And it's not something I really kind of thought about before. I mean, I've always been quite aware of my actions and my behaviors, but to really just sit there and think, like, how can I mother myself now? Because if I mother myself in the same way, with that same unconditional love that I have for my baby, then I can be my best version. I can be the best person, best version of myself. And then by being that best version, I can be the best mother I can be. I can be the best partner I can be. I can be the best friend, whatever it is. But it really does come back down to turning that mothering instinct towards you. And that's why I say, like, even if you haven't had a baby, or if you don't want to have a baby, if you haven't had, you know, you plan to and you want to at some point, like, that lesson, if you can learn how to mother yourself now, I think it will put you in such in like powerful place if you do decide to become a mother. And if you don't, then equally it's an amazing skill to have learned, because it really does allow you to show up fully as yourself and be kind to yourself in all areas of your life. So I guess this episode is not just for mothers, but for anybody that is curious about those first few weeks. I'm sure there's so many other things that I kind of came up against in those few weeks, and they'll probably materialize when I talk to other people and hear about similar things. But I just wanted to express that little collection of lessons, I guess, sort of mishmash of things, but just to kind of, I don't know, maybe to give comfort to someone who's going through it, or maybe just to let someone else know that it's okay to feel some of those things, or maybe just if you're curious about what that period of life is like. I remember having conversations afterwards with people saying, like, they don't teach you this stuff beforehand. But in all honesty, I don't know that you'd even, like, would you? I don't think I would have listened or understood or really kind of expected it. Like, if someone had actually said these things. And people, of course, say, you know, oh, it's quite, you know, it's challenging the first few weeks or the first 6 weeks. It can be a bit of a roller coaster. Your hormones are doing all these crazy things. But even so, I think there was an element of me that was like, ah, you know, I'll be fine. And I am fine. So I can now look back and see those times as being in the depths of transformation. And I do feel that will stand me in such good stead going forward for any moments in my life where things feel very challenging or things are just being totally shaken up in my life, in my world. And I don't think I've ever felt stronger having worked my way through that. And there's no way I could have done that on my own. It's been through incredible support with family and friends. And I'm so, so grateful for all of that. But I really just, yeah, I just think that without going through that, I wouldn't feel like I'm able to now step into my power in so many other ways. There's been so much clarity around my work, so much clarity around my relationships and how I want to show up in the world. There's so much, I feel like having Sophia has stripped back so many of the worries and concerns, and I guess that feeling of not being enough or not being worthy to do some of the things I want to do in the world. And it's kind of made me think, I'm a fucking powerful woman. If I can get myself through that, with support, of course, then I can do anything, and I am totally enough to show up in the world as the woman I am here to be, as the mother I am here to be. And it's been, yeah, like the most brutal but beautiful transformation I've ever gone through. And I'm so, so grateful to Sophia for gifting me that, and for all of the people around me for holding the space that I needed to go through that, and to go through it with being able to surrender into it fully. Because I think that's where, if you don't have the support around you, if you haven't got people to hold you in that, I think that's where you maybe there you don't get the chance to have that transformative experience and to see your strength and to really surrender into the depths of it and let yourself go through that kind of the stripping back, the breaking down, and the rawness of it, that complete rebirthing process. You know, you need people to hold you through that. Just as I needed the support from Will and the midwife and our doula for the birthing of Sophia, I needed support and somebody and other people to hold me through the rebirthing and the birthing of myself as a mother. And that I will forever be grateful for. And I feel sad that other people have maybe not had that experience, but I also know that having had that experience, it enables me and hopefully others to offer that space for mothers that come through, our next generation of mothers. And I don't know where it's going to take me, but I know that it's been the most pivotal thing that's ever happened to me, and I'm really, really excited and full of thankfulness for it. So I hope that has been interesting or helpful in some way. As always, I'm always open and welcome any feedback or any questions or any words that you feel like you would like to share having listened to this. And I am sure that this conversation is going to continue in other episodes and beyond. So stay tuned if you are keen to learn more, and I look forward to speaking to you on the next episode. I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.